As regions across upstate New York begin the phased-in return to normalcy, a key part of that process is the work being done by contact tracers, who will help track the path of confirmed cases of the virus to limit its potential spread. To explain the implementation of this program, we're joined again by Daniel Stapleton, Public Health Director for Niagara County and the President of the State Association of County Health Officials. Welcome back to the show, Dan.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So what are contact tracers, and before this current pandemic, how were they utilized by counties or the state?
Contact tracing is probably one of the most, if not the most essential service that public health departments provide. Your local health department is usually the entity that will go through and we identify a person who's a positive for any number of a lot, very long list of communicable diseases that are reported to us. So this is something that's been done for decades and decades across the country and of course, in New York State and in Niagara County. So public health nurses, for the most part, are the people who do the contact tracing. They identify a person who's tested positive for one of those communicable diseases. And then we do a very thorough interview with them and try to find out who have they been in contact with? You know, where have they gone? Who did they live with? Where do they work? Has anybody else in their family fallen ill? What are the symptoms? Those types of things. And like I said, it's something we've always done. Public health nurses are experts in doing this type of work of contact tracing. So, like I said, I have about a dozen public health nurses who do contact tracing on a regular basis, although a large amount, overwhelming percentage of our staff are involved in COVID-19 investigations and follow through and contact tracing. We also do it for any number of diseases. So those other diseases, we still need to follow up on these sexually transmitted diseases, foodborne illnesses, things like that. So something we've always done. But right now, it's an overwhelming amount of work because it's just so many cases.
Traditionally, what warrants a disease being subject to contact tracing?
The New York State Department has a list that we get a report whenever one of these diseases, these tests proves positive. So we get them, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We get those reports. And then we look at a lot of diseases, they're transmitted in different ways. For example, measles is an airborne disease that can stay suspended in air for up to 2 hours, even after the person leaves. If they've sneeze or they cough, it stays in the air. Something like COVID does not, it's more droplets. It's not necessarily aerosolized. So there's a difference in terms of how it's transmitted. And then, of course, there are other diseases that are transmitted, whether it's through intimate contact or whether it's easier through, say, the flu, through droplets falling on a hard surface and then somebody touching that surface and transmitting it to through their nose, their eye, or whatever.
Because of the different forms of transmission, are there different sorts of guidelines that your staff have to follow in terms of where they follow the clues?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, like I said, the one I think about is we had a case of measles a couple of years ago, and they went to a restaurant, and we had to find out who had been in that restaurant. We had to put a public announcement out asking for people who might have visited that establishment. And between this time and this time, servers who worked there, we had to find out what their immunization history was. Had they been vaccinated against measles, and if they had been vaccinated, did they need a booster? Because we need to determine, was it the person who was actually dealing with the customer who was positive, or did it happen to be somebody who was working in another part of the restaurant? So you do a very thorough investigation of where the person who's positive was. Did they stay at a hotel? Did they go to restaurants? Did they go on an amusement? It might have been. And then based on the type of disease that's transmitted, we continue on with our contact tracing.
how responsive are people when they're contacted by your staff, especially if they might have, you know, contracted the virus? Are they more than willing to tell you everywhere they've been and everyone they've come in contact with?
Yeah, people have been very cooperative. I think in the beginning, before a lot of the communities were shut down, the people were able to move to a lot of different places. And now that people are, at least up until about a week ago, people were a lot more restrictive in where they should be going. The public was very cooperative, which is obviously very important to us. But over the past couple of months, it's been easier to find out where people are because people, thankfully, have been listening to the recommendations and directives and really much staying put unless they had, you know, go to something that would really require them to leave the house for a short period of time. So, you know, we did a contact tracing of a person earlier this week. 25 different people were identified. So we hope that, and that's not our typical list for contact tracing right now, you know, usually the numbers are smaller. But as government and entities and counties open up, we're hopefully people will continue to use social distancing and wash their hands more, wear masks, because we want to make sure that list of contacts remains small, because it's easier for us to coordinate all that when we have, let's say, a few rather than a couple dozen.
Yeah, so I'm curious, with the weather getting nicer, which makes people want to go outside, and the upstate regions beginning this phased-in reopening of non-essential businesses, which in phase two will include retail shops, barbers. Are you worried about this job becoming not manageable anymore?
Well, I think, you know, I've heard it over and over, and it rings true that we hope people continue to take this serious. You know, we still have, double-digit increases every day of new cases. We still have deaths occurring regularly. So we're hoping that people, and we've also, because we know that not everybody is symptomatic when they're positive. So we're hoping people take this serious. You know, we want to make sure that people follow the guidelines, continue social distancing, and people can be outside. People should be outside. People can be outside. They just need to make sure they're following the guidelines that have been provided by the CDC and my department. So we want to make sure that people are doing that. While I am concerned, I am making sure we're communicating with people via this type of interview to let people know they need to continue to respect those guidelines and follow those, because we don't want to go backward. We don't want to have to make decisions that restrict people's freedom of doing whatever they want to do. So people need to be considerate of others. They need to follow the guidelines because we don't want to go in the opposite direction. We only want to move forward with allowing people to do more, but following safe guidelines.
So when you find someone who's a confirmed case and you talk to them and they say, well, I was at the local pizza place picking up, you know, some takeout food recently, I assume you then go to that place. And do you then have to, for instance, immediately quarantine whoever handed over the bag of food? Do they just have to get tested for the virus? What's sort of the procedure at that point?
No, that's very casual contact. We're talking about prolonged 10 to 15 minutes of prolonged direct interaction, less than the 6 feet. I know that most food service establishments, I've gone to a few places. They are very careful. People do not, you know, businesses don't want to infect or put their business at risk, their clients, their customers at risk, or their staff. So people, I think, from what I've seen and what I've experienced, people are taking this serious, and people want to be able to do more, understand it 100%, but they just need to do it safely. And I think food service establishments are doing that well. And even places that I've been to, I've had it brought up to my car multiple times. I've had to go in, and one person goes in at a time, or two people can be in the establishment at a time to pick up their food. That's happening. I've experienced that, and I think that's hopefully people will continue to maintain, because that's exactly what we're talking about when we're talking about maintain a safe distance, wear your masks, follow proper guidelines. And so far I've seen that. So we encourage people to keep on doing it, because we've come so far that we don't want to go back.
As part of the regions getting the go-ahead from the governor to begin reopening, they had to have a certain number of contact tracers. And I'm curious, for Western New York, did you guys have to look beyond just your county staffs to find those contact tracers, or did you have enough personnel already?
We've been able to do it within Niagara County employees. I typically had 10 people in my nursing division who did contact tracing. I now have 22 people in my department who have taken the training and can do contact tracing. We've also reached out to our sheriff's office, has been very cooperative, has worked with myself and the sheriff and the chairwoman of our county legislature to identify people who can do this, people who are used to dealing with HIPAA type of information, used to doing investigations, used to dealing with the public on a daily basis. So we've surpassed the numbers we were told we needed to have, but thankfully we've been able to do it through our own county staff rather than having to go outside.
You mentioned the training. I know John Hopkins came up with their own sort of COVID-19 training. I'm curious what your staff had to do to come up to speed for this virus.
Well, we have about 10 of our nurses who are already doing contact tracing, so we didn't need to. They didn't have to go through the training, because it's something they do every day and have been doing it for some of them for decades. But we have, for example, health educators. We have a couple of them who have been trained in our department. We have sanitarians who do foodborne outbreak investigations and are used to interviewing people, getting data, handling sensitive data. They've done it, but they've gone through the training as well. And then also the sheriff's office personnel have also either are through with the training or through with the training, I believe, sometime today. They've gone through all of that to be prepared. But the nurses were waived. There was a waiver for nurses who do this. We had a couple of nurses that we brought back who had retired or had left for other jobs that are not currently operating, and they've come in and we've retrained them because they might not have done contact tracing for a few years. So we're doing it in a number of different ways. Some people don't have to go through the training. Some do, even though they're a nurse, and then others go through a training because it's not something they always deal with.
How are you feeling right now about your county and your region's ability to open safely?
I feel very confident about that. You know, I'm involved in a group that is starting providing guidance to businesses in Niagara County on what to do to maintain, to open up, but also maintain a safe environment, as well as follow the guidelines that the governor's office has put together. And everybody's stepping to the plate.
In about 2 weeks, phase two will start, theoretically, in Western New York. And at that point, will you be first in line to get a haircut?
Well, you know, I tell you right now, Dave, I think there's going to be a long line of people for those haircuts. So it's, you know, it's something people have been having to deal with. The hair trend of the 60s is back in vogue. So everybody's starting to look the same casual, out-of-control look. So, everybody's looking forward to that. But make no doubt about it, we have our staff is they're laser-focused on making sure our residents are safe.
We've been speaking with Daniel Stapleton, Public Health Director for Niagara County and President of the State Association of County Health Officials. Dan, as always, thank you so much.
Thank you, Dave.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by Destiny USA. Shopping, dining, and entertainment all in one location. For more information, go to www.destinyusa.com.